Good morning, and welcome to the August 12th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, August 13th, 2026. We've got loads of local news in today's paper, so we'll start with a reminder that Menards Home Improvement Store continues with their pet supplies drive until the end of the month of September. Menards offers a wide variety of pet supplies that can be donated to a humane association, including food, treats, feeders, collars, beds, storage containers, mats, and so much more in Menards Pet and Wildlife Department. They are available for immediate donations in the big collection box located near the front doors at Menards, where you can place your donations. Several food pantries are available to folks in Tolono. Actually, their food pantries are in Tolono and available to anyone in Champaign County. Every Monday from 5 to 6:30 in the afternoon and Friday morning from 9 to 10:30 at St. Patrick Catholic Charities in Tolono. The food pantry is located at the parish and offers fresh produce, meat, and pantry items. And every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m., the Giving Place is open in Tolono, also helping families in need of food items. And again, all these food pantries are available to anybody in Champaign County who's in need of help. There is also a good caregivers group available if you're caring for a loved one, such as a spouse, a parent, a child with a disability, etc. This caregivers group enables people to share their experiences, suggestions, and resources. They meet at the Zest for Life Center in Villa Grove, located at 610 East Harrison Street, at 1:30 in the afternoon on the first Wednesday of every month. This is a free and informal group. If you have questions, you can text or leave a message at 217-369-7071. Next up, we have coverage of the Tolono Public Library's first annual summer block party. On August 1st, we held our first annual end-of-summer block party, and it was a rousing success. We want to thank everyone who came out to support the library. The Friends of the Library raised over $400 with their bake sale, and they'll be putting that money towards their goal for a bookmobile and will be contributing to other library programs and events. Did you get a flyer from their table? The Library Friends Group is partnering with Kyle's Corner in a crepe creation contest. If you didn't grab a template, we have them available for you at the library. Simply show us your ideal ingredients for a crepe. Turn the paper back into the library, or you can turn it in at Kyle's Corner by Saturday, and a winner will be chosen, and their crepe recipe will be made. The library also sold a few books at our book sale tent. You can look for our big fall book sale event to happen this October. The Village of Tolono successfully gave away hundreds of donated school supplies, and the Girl Scout group raised money and collected supplies for the pet food pantry they are installing at the library later this month. We also want to give a huge thank you to the Fun Day Committee for coming out with their skee-ball game and donating chalk, which was a huge hit. And the Tolono Historical Society gets a big thank you for their contribution of a fun and informative game sheet. It was a beautiful day as the rain held off and everyone had a chance to enjoy Holden Acorn, Lucky Eddie's, or Burrito King while they listen to music provided by DJ Mike. We look forward to hosting this annual event again next summer. But if you're looking for something to do this Saturday, Library Clerk Megan is hosting an adult art class from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. It's a little different this month, as she will be teaching you the basics of figure drawing. Space is limited, so be sure to RSVP for your spot. To see the full list of programs coming up this week at the Tolono Public Library, make sure you check out our website or our social media pages. To the first to know about all of our programs, sign up for our Programs Plus newsletter. And of course, you can always stop in to the Tolono Public Library and grab a monthly calendar or brochure. In news from the Village of Sydney, we learn that longtime Village of Sydney trustee Tyler Bickers has resigned from the board and is being replaced by Robert Hawkins as the newest member of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees. Next up, we have news that the Philo Exchange Bank is opening a branch in Tolono. Since 1883, the Philo Exchange Bank has provided hometown community banking to the communities that it serves. With the opening of their newest branch in Tolono on June 22nd, they have continued this tradition. The Philo Exchange Bank president, Kevin Rogers, had been looking for the right property to expand their business to Tolono for several years, but couldn't ever find the perfect place. With the closing of the Village Pet Doctor business, right on Route 45, the right property presented itself for the Philo Exchange Bank. We were happy to find an empty building in Tolono and give it purpose once again. We're thrilled to be part of the Tolono community, serving our existing Tolono customers and building relationships with new customers, said Sarah Smith, the bank's director of marketing. The Tolono branch is staffed by all Tolono residents. When you walk into the bank, you'll be greeted with a smile by someone that is from our own community. Giving further tribute to Tolono, the walls of the branch are adorned with historic Tolono photographs with whom they collaborated with the Tolono Historical Society to make available to the bank's customers. They were posted at the grand opening event on Friday, August 14th from 1 to 5 p.m., and they are also including the community's complimentary ice cream, which will be provided by Holden Acone. The bank will be decorated in flowers from a local flower farm, Smitty's Homestead, and gift baskets filled with goodies from local businesses will be raffled off. Join them for the grand opening event on Friday, August 14th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the new Philo Exchange Bank at 411 North Long Street in Tolono. During the 2026 Tolono Fun Days drone show on June 28th, Firefly out of Michigan asked the volunteer committee about working in some local logos. Philo Exchange Bank contributed to the drone show along with the Village of Tolono and first responders, so their images were also worked into the program. Welcome to the Philo Exchange Bank in Tolono. And next up, we have our weekly newsletter from the Philo Public Library. They say it's another new week and more new books have been added to the Philo Library shelves. By the end of this week, most of the children in the Philo area will be back in school. Where did the time go? We want you to know that the Philo Library staff is ready for the after-school kids and look forward to seeing some faces that haven't been seen since school let out in May. St. Thomas School reading list books are ready and waiting for your student to check them out. Whether that student is in kindergarten or eighth grade, we have their book lists and the books. The kids will be given a list of books selected as appropriate for each child's age group, and the students are expected to read a specified number of these books. There may also be assigned reading of specific genres. Our staff is ready to point your student in the right direction to find the books they need. Some have a spine label that will give you the genre, including categories such as historical novel or fantasy, etc. If the student wants more choices, we can always show you how and where to find more books for your special assignment. Often, the first day of school will bring a requirement for one of these specific topic books. If your child walks out of school, climbs in the car with a long face, and tells you he or she is ready for homework, reading a book, come on down to the Philo Library, and we'll help put a smile on both of your faces. That's it for this week, but until next week, as we always say, thanks for reading. Next up, we have news from Rocket Nation, brought to us by Diane Ducey, and she wants to call out and congratulate Unity graduate Phoenix Molina, who is a talented wrestler from Unity High School in Illinois, who has achieved significant success. They include winning an IHSA state title after an undefeated senior season at Unity High School in Tolono with a ranking of 38-0. Most recently, Phoenix Molina attended a national championship in Fargo, North Dakota in the 207-pound junior girls freestyle event. The U.S. Marine Corps Junior Nationals win was claimed after Phoenix Molina defeated Michigan's Maddie Hayden in a 6-0 decision to earn Illinois' 18th all-time junior girls title. Plus, Phoenix earned the 2026 All-Area Girls Wrestler of the Year, showcasing her impact in the sports and letting competitors and fans know that she works hard, she is consistent, and she is determined to do her best on the mat. Phoenix will be heading off to college with a wrestling scholarship at Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania in just a few weeks. The village of Tolono honored Phoenix Molina's wrestling accomplishments at a rally in the Eastside Park Pavilion on Monday, August 10th. There was also a street dedication in her name and an official proclamation from Tolono Mayor Terrence Stuber. Our congratulations to champion Phoenix Molina of Tolono. And next we'll have a peek into the night sky, brought to us by David Leakey, retired director of the Starkle Planetarium at Parkland College. And he begins, "A thin crescent moon is just left of the planet Mars tomorrow morning. You may hear about a total solar eclipse on Wednesday, but it's not going to be seen in central Illinois. You have to be in Greenland, Iceland, or Spain to see it. If you're by chance going, Professor Leakey says he'll carry your luggage. We should get to see plenty of meteors, however, as the Perseid meteor shower peaks tonight and into Thursday. The shooting stars are actually pea-sized dust grains that used to be part of the comet Swift Tuttle. The comet orbits the sun every 133 years, but just like Hansel and Gretel, it leaves dust in its path. The dust particles shock heat the air as they enter our atmosphere at over 130,000 miles per hour, causing the air to glow. Under dark rural skies, an observer should see 100 meteors an hour during peak times, which is expected to be Thursday morning before the morning twilight begins. The moon will be out of the sky, so conditions are excellent. the good thing is, no special equipment is needed. Just take a lawn chair out so you can easily see straight up and be patient. We'll hope for clear skies. And next up, we have our ramblings from our village idiot, who is also known as Kurt Foster, and he's still thinking about the reflecting pool in Washington, D.C. And he begins, at the end of the movie Casablanca, Louis Renault has just witnessed his friend Rick Blaine shoot the ruthless Major Strasser so that resistance leader Victor Laszlo can escape. With Rick standing there with the smoking gun in his hand, Renault tells his men, Major Strasser has been shot. Round up the usual suspects. Of course, the sham investigation was to protect his friend for the noble purpose of resisting the Nazi occupiers. There is no such noble purpose with the persecution of David Hearn at all in Washington, but the factual situation is just as farcical as in the movie. The repair job on the reflecting pool started falling apart on June 11th, just 2 days after the final inspection. It was obvious that it was a classic case of bad workmanship. But the owner of Atlantic Industrial Coatings is one of the Prez's pals. To protect him, the Prez willfully disregarded reality and began a campaign of scapegoating non-existent vandals, then ordering his subordinates to validate his fairy tales. Park Service officers duly began rounding up the usual suspects. Three of them had taken swatches of blue material that had already come loose as souvenirs. They were charged with misdemeanor damage to government property. The fact that the material had already come loose did not faze the prosecutors. But a man arrested on June 19th had merely dipped his hand into the water to feel the blue material flapping in the water. He hadn't taken anything, but in spite, or was it because, of the fact that the charge against him was even more nonsensical than the others, he was designated as principal scapegoat. His misdemeanor charge was upgraded to a felony, causing more than $1,000 in damage, an offense punishable by 10 years in prison. As we now know, the DOJ knew by July 2nd, the day of the indictment, that it could be proven in court that they had no case. Of course, they already knew the pool hadn't been vandalized at all, and that they were persecuting innocent people. But they didn't care. They had to make the boss happy by validating his fairy tales, never mind truth, justice, legal ethics, or the Ninth Commandment. In her press briefing after securing the indictment, Jeanine Pirro shrieked the lies that Mr. Hearn had ripped out the liner with great force, they had strong evidence, they had experts, blah, 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 despite knowing for a fact that they had no case at all. The felony case of U.S. versus David Hearn in the D.C. Superior Court case number 2026 CF2010237, for anyone who cares, has now largely disappeared from web searches. Most of what you'll find is DOJ drops case. Not quite. There are also a lot of people who bit hard on the phony excuse that Jeanine Pirro gave in the motions of late Friday, July 31st, to dismiss. The DOJ is trying to blame the Department of the Interior for its tardiness in handing over a report which concludes, as was already obvious to everyone, that the pool liner was extensively damaged by bad workmanship and that there was no evidence of vandalism. The DOJ officially accepted the report's conclusions, which it then used to dismiss the Hearn case without prejudice, which means that the government can refile the case. The noli prosequi motions to drop the three misdemeanor cases, also without prejudice, finally appeared in the court record on Monday, August 3rd. So, the government has not admitted that it knowingly persecuted innocent people, and they have only let the defendants off the hook for the time being. So, what was the real reason for the dismissals? The government was forced to drop the Hearn case by a motion for discovery filed by the Hearn defense on July 27th. The motion included the grand jury testimony, disclosed by previous discovery, of the only witness who addressed the question of how much damage resulted from Mr. Hearn's conduct. The government has to prove that he caused more than $1,000 in damage to get a conviction. But the witness testified to the grand jury that the pool was already damaged and he could not assign any amount of damage at all to Mr. Hearn's conduct. At that point, the DOJ knew, as a matter of law, that they didn't even have a misdemeanor case, but they proceeded anyway. The fact that the grand jury returned an indictment on July 2nd, signed only by an assistant U.S. attorney who had been on the job for just 2 days, despite the fact that the government's own witness on damages had demolished their case, can only mean that they knowingly deceived the grand jurors and gave them improper instructions. Accordingly, the July 27th motion was for the minutes and instructions from the grand jury proceedings. The prosecutors knew that if the motion were granted, as it certainly would have been, they might well have faced disciplinary action, including possible disbarment. Similar prosecutorial misconduct with a grand jury ended the case against the Broadview Six. Dismissing the case will likely get this inconvenient motion for discovery dismissed as moot. So, the DOJ knew on or before July 2nd that it could be proven in court that they had no case, but they proceeded anyway. The arraignment went ahead on July 9th, during which a trial date of September 8th was set, and the prosecutors also seized Mr. Hearn's phone. It had photos, he had already given copies to the press, with timestamps showing that the pool was already damaged before his arrest. The original photos on his phone are exculpatory evidence, which its seizure made unavailable to the defense. So the defense counsel filed a motion on July 10th to the court to compel the DOJ to return his phone. Our village idiot was unable, however, to find out whether Mr. Hearn ever actually got his phone returned. And now, despite her prodigious efforts to validate the Prez's fairy tales by knowingly pursuing 4 bogus prosecutions, including a baseless felony case, Jeanine Pirro may lose her job. The Prez is angry at her for dropping the case, and especially for admitting in a legal filing that, as per the Department of Interior report, but as was already obvious to everyone, it was bad workmanship by the president's pals, company, and not imaginary vandals that damaged the reflecting pool. But the Prez is still insisting that the pool was damaged by vandals. He posted a video which, he said, shows a vandal using a box cutter to damage the pool. Of course, it doesn't show anything of the sort. But no matter, his supporters won't bother checking. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has chimed in by parroting the vandals' falsehood and is also falsely claiming that the repair work was well done. So, the D.C. District Court may soon have a new acting U.S. attorney, and the Department of Interior employees who wrote the bogus report may soon also be out of their jobs. Other Department of Interior employees may then be coerced, if not already willing, to rewrite the report to validate the lie that the pool was extensively vandalized. The DOJ may then, armed with this newly concocted so-called evidence, refile the charges against Mr. Hearn at all. If you think this is absurd, I ask you, is it any more absurd than what the administration has already done? Nobody stopped them then. They haven't suffered any serious consequences. Who's going to stop them now? So, the legal troubles of David Hearn et al. Are not over yet. It seems he has been holding up pretty well, but the realization that his own government is knowingly pursuing a baseless felony prosecution against him has made it hard for him to sleep. Justin Carino, upon his misdemeanor arrest, was fired from his government contractor job and also a second job, and had to move out of his home because he suddenly could not afford the rent. The administration seems to think that it just inflicts enough pain on innocent defendants, that if the Department of Justice inflicts just enough pain on innocent defendants, they will give up and plead guilty. The DOJ has pursued these false accusations So the administration seems to think that if they inflict just enough pain on innocent defendants, they will give up and plead guilty. The DOJ has pursued these false accusations because they have corruptly put a malignant old man's pathetic lies above truth, justice, legal ethics, and the Ninth Commandment. Our village idiot adds an update. Judge Edelman granted the DOJ's motion to dismiss the case against David Hearn in part late Thursday, August 6th, but this wasn't even reported by news outlets until Friday afternoon. He ruled that the case must be dismissed. It is no longer actively pending, but he ordered further litigation on whether the dismissal will be without prejudice, meaning it's a temporary dismissal, as requested by the DOJ, or with prejudice, meaning that the dismissal is permanent, as advocated by the defense. The DOJ's brief is due by August 18th. The defense's response is due within 7 days after the government files that brief. Next, we have a rather disturbing news item regarding a Southern Illinois University professor. A former Southern Illinois University professor was accused last year of posting videos of himself masturbating in several places on campus. He pleaded guilty this week to a charge of reckless conduct after admitting that he recorded himself doing so in the lecture hall hallway and posted it online. Kyle Miller, a 35-year-old professor at the SIU School of Medicine, was the subject of a March 2025 social media expose led by the extreme right-wing online influencer Chaya Raichik, who operates a site called the Libs of TikTok account. The thread targeted Miller for sexual content that Raichik alleged he was posting under the social media handle Midwest Otter. The so-called Libs of TikTok thread garnered more than 3 million views on Twitter and directing national attention towards the university. Raichik alleged that Miller had filmed himself masturbating in SIU lecture halls, offices, stairwells, and hallways, and posted those videos on several platforms. The thread came amid an onslaught of targeted social media campaigns from Raichik, who has posted multiple different exposés centered around sexual conduct from educators across the country, including those who identify as LGBTQ+. It is unclear how she obtained the screenshots or how she traced them to Miller. Miller was arrested on March 17, 2025, after an investigation by the Jackson County Sheriff's Office just days after the Libs of TikTok thread was posted. Following his arrest, Miller was fired from SIU and released from jail on March 19th under the condition that he was not allowed back on campus. The plea was amended and The professor was charged in an amended complaint with reckless conduct, excuse me, and a second reckless conduct charge was dismissed. Jackson County Judge Stephen Bost ordered Miller to pay $1,000 in total fines and court costs. This concludes our reading of the August 12th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.